Now, as we're making our way through this series on heroes of our faith, we're going to be going through this until October, until the middle of October. Lots of people we're going to look at in practical application of the truths that they found in their lives that brought them through the situations they were living in are very applicable to our day and age. And Abraham here is a huge character in the Old Testament. In fact, Abraham is a very common name in Jewish history, obviously, the father of Isaac and Jacob and the children of Israel, and also in the Muslim world, Abraham, Ishmael. We see the descendants there, and obviously they've been at war with each other over the years, over their dispute about which son was the one to be blessed, and the different things that they have taken here. And then obviously in our Christian faith, Abraham is referred to the father of faith, that it's his example, that he believed God in spite of the world around him. And we're going to look at some of his character here this morning and how he stood out in his generation and what God has called us to do. But we go back to Genesis chapter 12. That is where we see Abram, and his name was Abram before it became Abraham. We see the scene here in Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." We look at this passage, and we go back to Genesis, where God made the promise to Adam and Eve that he was going to do something about the problem of sin, that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent. And we see now in Abram that God was saying it was through his seed, his children, that this promise was going to come, that not just his descendants, his particular physical descendants, was going to be blessed, but all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through this one, which we eventually see brought out in Scripture was the Messiah, who now, as Christians, we believe that Jesus came in fulfillment of those promises, that Jesus is the one that Abram was looking forward to. And now for us, we don't look forward, we look back to see what has happened, and yet at the same time, we are looking forward because this same Jesus that came once says he is coming a second time, and he's going to intervene in human history when it's going to seem like all is lost and man is going to destroy himself. Before that happens, God is going to say enough, and Jesus is going to visibly, physically return. And that is what our faith believes. And we leave the timing to God. We don't try to figure out, but we're told that there are many signs. And I tell you, the signs are really starting to scream out to us right now. There's a lot of things going on that make you take heed, like, whoa, this is the kind of stuff we read in our Bibles. And it's like, yeah, it is. But let's look at Abram's character here this morning. In Genesis, it goes on in chapter 12 here that he built altars. Now you may think, well, what's the big deal of an altar? And he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord at Bethel by the trees of Mamre in Hebron. He built an altar to the Lord. Altars not to himself, not to his own made-out God, but to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the God who created and gave life to every man, woman, and child in history. The prophet Isaiah understood, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no other God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yet let him foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? Boy, do you think these are relevant words for us today? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock. I know not one. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb. I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens, who spread out the earth by myself. Wow. God makes it very clear. In fact, Scripture brings out, Paul said to the Romans, although people were aware that there was a God that created, they decided to make their own gods. And they turned away from the truth of God and worshiped and served created things, things made by their own hands. Isaiah goes into a lot of explanation about that, about taking a piece of wood and fashioning it and chiseling it and making it into an idol and bowing down and saying, you are my God, I worship you. Or taking some metal and forming it. And remember, the children of Israel, even though God had appeared to them how many times and just did amazing things, what did they do? When they Moses was taken so long on the mountain, they took some gold and formed it into an idol to worship, and they bowed down and worshiped this gold. And it's amazing. I like when Moses comes down from the mountain on that, and he's like, "What in the world is going on?" And I like Aaron is typical in what sin has done to us. It's like, "Well, we just threw this gold in the fire and out came this golden calf." It's like, oh, really? It's like, you had nothing to do with this. It's like, oh, no, we never like to take responsibility. And that's the thing at looking at an altar here. When Abram is building altars, he knows that there's something in his heart that has separated him from the God who created him. And this relationship needs to be restored. That's what an altar represents, is that this altar, and it's not this physical piece of wood that we have up here. It's not some special place that we have to go. Any place that you and I gather, where two or three have gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus says, is in our midst. And if you're all by yourself, as old Elijah thought, he was all by himself, and God said, oh, no. There are 7,000 in Israel that had not bowed their knee to Baal and was worshiping this foreign god, a god that is no god at all. But we see these types of things. And so Abram worshiped God, and he knew that his relationship needed to be restored and reconciled with the God who created him. That as Isaiah brought across, our sins have separated us from God, and that's why Jesus came, was to save his people from their sins. And thank God for that. And then we see that literally around the world, people's consciences, Paul brings out to the Romans that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. And you look at our conscience, we know it's wrong to steal. Deep down inside, we know it's wrong to take something that's someone else's and make it our own. We know it's wrong to kill. We know it's wrong to cheat, to lie, to all the sins that are there deep down. But what Scripture brings across is that sin hardens us. It deceives us. It makes us think, well, we can do these things and get away with it. It's like, no. So Abram built an altar. He had a relationship with God, and he walked with God. Now, you may say, well, then he must have been a pretty perfect guy. Second point we want to look at, no, Abram was not perfect. And that's encouragement for all of us. He's the father of faith, and yet guess what he did? He lied. He lied quite a bit, actually. Lied to save his own skin here in Genesis 12. It goes on. They were coming into Egypt, and he said to his wife, Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me. but we'll let you live. Boy, you think he's being a little selfish here? Like, oh. Say you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. It's like, wow. You see, it's like he's just interested in saving his own skin. And to kind of summarize the story, well, the Egyptian leader took him in as, or took Sarah in as his wife. And yes, Abram was being treated well, but guess what? God afflicted the leader of Egypt's household. And pretty soon they find out, it's like, well, why did you lie to me and tell me that your wife was your sister? And, then he did not kill him. But, you know, many times that's what we do. Sin just makes us think that that's the better way to go about things. And it doesn't. And in time, it does. It wreaks its havoc on our lives. And we need to realize that we turn from sin. The Apostle John says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's the good thing. But we bring this across today is to just realize that none of us are perfect. Abram wasn't perfect. And yet, in this passage out of Hebrews, when God is inspiring the writer of Hebrews to write about Abram, guess what? He does not bring up all his shortcomings. Like King David in Scripture in the New Testament, it refers to King David as a man after God's own heart. And yet we all know what King David did. He committed adultery and then had Uriah murdered to cover up his adultery. And it was pretty bad stuff that he did. And yet, when he was confronted with his sin, instead of rationalizing, justifying, and excusing, he turned from it. He confessed it. In fact, our great confessions that we have in communion, we go into the Old Testament. Psalm 51 is written as David's cry for forgiveness, that he asked God to forgive him for his sin and to create in him a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within him. And so we see these examples there to encourage us, because none of us are perfect, and God is here to help us to recognize what sin does and change us. So Abram recognized who he was, and yet he continued his walk with God. And we see, thirdly here, his obedience. It says, by faith, Abram, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Obedience is essential. It's foundational. And John brings this across as well. He says, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And that's it. The old hymn, trust and obey, for there is no other way. It is so essential, and yet so many, I cannot tell you how many times I've seen people go on and just go out and blatantly sin and not do what they know God is calling them to do, to be like, and then mad at God for consequences and things that happen. And it's like, well, you know, obedience is foundational. It is essential. And even though Abram was not perfect, we see that he obeyed and went. And one of the things we find in this passage that Dave read as well, he went even though he did not know where he was going. Now, this is a challenge for us Westerners who like to have things all figured out. We want to understand everything that is going on. But Abraham went. In fact, the Apostle Paul said the exact same thing. He was going to Jerusalem, not knowing what would happen to him there. But he knew that he was warned that wherever he went, he was going to face trials, tribulations, persecution. And it's like, but he still went. And this is the good thing about us. We're called to represent God wherever we're at in life. And thank God this morning, we're in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. and we have a beautiful area to live in. But we're not to hide, and again, that's not saying anything about people who are staying home from COVID here or anything this morning, but we're not to hide and isolate ourselves from the world. We are to be the light of the world. We are to be out there making a difference in our community. That's why it's exciting to see this community meal getting established. That's why it's exciting to see the ministry of the ladies' home reaching out to hurting ladies in our area, and the men's home trying to get up and running, the food shelf, all these things, and churches working together as we should. It is the way it should be. And this is what Proverbs, Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And that is it. In our walk with God, we see these types of things that we don't always know. Like, I've had people question, like, when we received the Baptist church, they became a part of us, and then the congregational. I literally had someone from the Lutheran church come up to me, are you going to take us over next? And I was like, no, we're not taking anybody over. You know, it's like, nah, this was God's doing. God brought us together. And I know this lady very well, but I was like, no, we're not taking over anything. And we're just a small group of people. We are. We're not no big group. But according to the university professors of our day, we are idiots for believing in God, for believing in Jesus as we do. We're wasting our lives on fairy tales. We need to shut up and keep our religion to ourselves. And if we don't, we'll fine you big time and, yes, even jail you. And we see this attitude growing more and more. We wonder why we're seeing this. For years, this is what university professors have been teaching in secular universities, teaching atheism, teaching that there is no God, and anyone who believes in God is foolish. And we should not take any heed to what they say. And then we wonder why we see the garbage that is happening today in our land. It's like we're reaping what we've sown. And it's our job to be able to stand up and not fight physically with them. But again, our fight is what? With spiritual weapons, with prayer, with love, with doing things the way Jesus did things. He didn't say... in fact, when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, save me from this hour. It's like, no, for this hour, I was brought to this point. And we need to understand this morning that God has brought us to where we're at in America today, not to shrink back and, oh, what's coming on, but to shine out for him in this day and age and to represent him, that we are living in the times or the fulfillment of the ages, the writings of the prophets of the Old Testament, of Daniel that we've looked at here the past few weeks, some of the things that he faced, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In fact, Daniel said he didn't understand all this, and he was told, you're not going to. But in those days, understanding will be given. And it's now we're starting to see some of the things that Daniel spoke of now starting to come into focus. But we need to know that the world around us considers many of the things we believe, in fact, pretty much most of it, foolishness. And although they claim to be wise, the Apostle Paul told the Romans, they became fools. And you look at it, isn't it amazing that you see people being jailed for going to work because they were told they needed to stay home for COVID-19, and yet other people that come out and riot and loot and burn, oh, that's okay. It's like, really? You think it's a little warped, the understanding of things? In fact, there is calling good evil and evil good. It's like, you talk about warped. And it's like, it has nothing to do against peaceful protests. And obviously what took place in Minneapolis was very wrong and needs to be dealt with. But this whole thing of anarchy and that's going on, it is beyond comprehension that we have political leaders that have no backbone to stand up. Now, what is amazing, have you heard about the Seattle mayor? Anyone? Well, now, see, I'm probably watching the news too much, but What's interesting is, remember, this was the Summer of Love out in Seattle, that they let them take over six blocks downtown until they came to her house. It's okay to loot and burn all these other businesses and other, but when they came to her house, it's like, whoa, this is wrong. You need to, and where, guess what? The police were brought in. Oh, isn't that amazing? We want to defund the police for everybody else, but no, when it comes to you, it's just warped, this stuff, and I cannot believe that anyone would leave someone like that in office. But that's what's going on across our land. And we need to pray for the Seattle mayor. We need to pray for all these mayors and governors that are just not standing for anything. In fact, standing against, you heard about the people in Missouri that actually defended their property. Well, guess what? They fined and wanted to jail them. It's like, seriously? Because the police weren't there to defend it. And it's like they defended it, and they did defend it. and yet they're the ones being looked at as the bad guys. It's like, wow. Not the people who are coming to burn their house down and rob and loot them. It's like, it is just unbelievable, the stuff we're seeing. And so the challenges are here for us. Abram lived out his faith in his time and his age, and we need to take it to heart for our time and his and this age that we're living in. And fifthly, he recognized this world is not our home. And that's the thing. When I look at how beautiful it is where we live, in fact, Michelle and I have been talking about every morning, we got lots of robins nesting in our yard. Yeah, they sing, and they start at 4 something in the morning, and they're singing away and so happy. And it's like, they have no clue what's going on in our world. And it is, but I just love how, and that's what Jesus said, consider the birds of the air. And he says, are you not much more valuable than they? And we need to take that to heart, that God is with us. And he is going to give us the strength we need to make it through. And this world is not our home. In fact, Paul brings out the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we eagerly await for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. And it is, it's like we're living in this world, but this world is not our final resting place. Had a funeral out here yesterday in the cemetery for a guy that passed away a while back, and because of COVID, his graveside was delayed, and we had a huge crowd out here. And talked about this passage right out of Hebrews 11. People who are looking for a city whose builder and architect is God. And I tell you, that's the longing of my heart. And that doesn't mean that we don't love the beauty of this world and love nature and all that, but we don't worship it. This is not our home. We need to be about our Father's business, and as we are, we will represent him to the world around us. And that's what is going on to say here in Hebrews 11, where it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And that is the joy set before us, is that there is a place in eternity that Jesus said he's gone to prepare for us, that where he is, we will be as well. And thank God, Abraham was looking forward to that, and his faith had a very practical application to his daily life. And that's where this passage, Dave, the last few verses there, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Paul brings out in Romans 4 about this. He says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Now, that's interesting. There are some today that teach that in order for us to have faith, we have to deny the reality, deny the symptoms. That's what we do. It's like, no, we face facts. If we've got problems, I admit that I have problems. I admit that I've got physical health issues. That's not a lack of faith. What is a lack of faith is to say that God cannot help me, God cannot touch me, God cannot strengthen me to make it through. That is what lack of faith is. Not that I have a problem. So we face facts. We face realities. Maybe you're facing some hard facts here today. Maybe there's some financial pressures, financial stress. Maybe there's some relationship issues. Maybe there's some just issues in your own heart. You don't understand what is going on in your own life at all. It's like, it's that where we need to turn and surrender everything to God. And as we do, this is what goes on. He says, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith. And faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, that he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And it's like, wow. In fact, Scripture refers to Abraham as the father of faith, and that we are heirs of the same faith. It has come down to us through all the centuries, all the eons of time, and all the different world kingdoms that have come and gone, all the upheavals, all the challenges. We need to know that our faith is an anchor, firm and secure. It is something we can count on as we walk through the days ahead, and not to allow fear, doubt, worry to fill our hearts, but to walk in faith, knowing that God is with us every step of the way, and that just as he used imperfect Abraham, he will use you and I as his servants as we go out into the world. And it's my hope and my prayer this morning that you are encouraged, that we take this to heart, that God is at work in our world. And as we learned in our Experiencing God class, we need to join God in his work and work with everything that's within us, no matter what our age and our point in life, and pour out our hearts in prayer to him each and every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning I thank you for the example of Abraham. And Lord, we've looked at how he built altars, indicating his desire for relationship with you. And Lord, you meet us right where we're at. We recognize that we're not perfect, and yet as Abraham responded, he did obey. And we thank you that he gave us that example. And then that he went not knowing. And Lord, many of us, in fact, I know Bob and Terry are at that point right now. Lord, are you going to open a door for them to come back to Hayward at least in the summer? And we pray that you will guide them and direct them in that. And I know people are making decisions about whether they should move. I know there are people that have sold their homes and are looking, and there's just so many things going on. Where do you want us? Where do you want us to settle and to move forward in our faith? And Lord, I pray that you'll speak to people this morning and touch them as only you can. And Lord, that as we respond to that, that we recognize the faith that you've called us to is a living, active faith, that we put it into practice in our daily life. And we thank you, Lord, that we can do that and that we move forward as your servants, not having it all figured out, but making every day a day that this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, help us to represent you to the world around us and send us forth from this place today with an extra joy in our step. And Lord, just a time to enjoy life to the fullest. Just thank you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.